Yes, it's a bit of a different sounding Breakfast Club on this Thursday morning. Daniel Harford, if you've just joined us, is a late withdrawal, a late scratching at the barrier due to a tooth issue. So it's Adam White, Andrew Mays, and also Brad Johnson on this Thursday morning. Jono, welcome to a halfless program.
Good morning, how are you guys? Yeah, it's good to see you guys.
We're going all right.
Good morning, everyone, as well.
There's plenty to get through with, as I mentioned before, the 7 o'clock news. Two games tonight with Essendon and Hawthorn and also Richmond and the West Coast Eagles. But before we get to the football, I also mentioned before the news a big story developing in the NBA with the Milwaukee Bucks refusing to take to the court in protest to the latest shooting in America. Well, I can now confirm that the NBA has announced that all three games that have been scheduled for today, all playoff games, have been postponed. So not just the one, but all three. So that is a significant story in American sport at the moment. I don't know whether it's going to be for one day or for 2 days or whatever it's going to be, but the games that are scheduled for today will not take place. So yeah, big story. Maisie, that's unexpected, it's fair to say.
Yeah, it's been an interesting morning. I wonder what it achieves, actually, delaying the games. I don't know that it achieves a lot, because they'll play them anyway.
Yes, but I think it's a situation where they're wanting to make a stance, I guess, against what's happened from the shooting that's taken place, and there's, you know, all sorts of issues that are going on as a result of that in America again, and they you know, whether it's the the Black Lives Matter movement, whatever it is, I think they've gone down that path. But again, the story is just coming through now, so it's a little bit unexpected, it's fair to say,
because the game was what happens.
Yeah, the first game was going to take place, and the Bucks just refused to come out of their dressing rooms. They were in the rooms. So, yeah, anyway. What are your thoughts on Thursday night footy, Jono? Two games tonight. It's like an afternoon game and then a night game.
Yeah, look, it's you know how excited I get, Whitey, when Thursday night footy's on. So I love starting Thursday nights, getting in. It's the start of the weekend now in a way. I think it's been really good. The more Thursday night games we're seeing, the better it's been. The frenzy's been amazing, but now back to a little bit of normality over the last week before we all kickstart again, leading into the end of the season. Tonight's going to be, it's going to be really good. Obviously, the intrigue around Joey Danaher's return for the Bombers, I think that's what everyone's going to sit back and watch initially, see what sort of impact he can have on the game of footy against the Hawks. And then you've got a huge game. It really is. Richmond and West Coast is massive in terms of the context of both their seasons, searching for that top four spot. West Coast 2 points in front of Richmond at the moment, so they can get that break on them if they have a win in terms of their pursuit for top four and they haven't lost in a couple of months anyway. The West Coast Eagles and the Tigers are back in some serious shape, so that's going to be an absolute river. So we'll have the entree, and then the main course is going to be absolutely sensational.
Yeah, look, we might go through them in Racebook order, if you like, with the Essendon Hawthorn game first. Before we get your thoughts on Joe Danaher playing tonight, Jono, here is John Worsfold, who confirmed the news yesterday that Joe would be playing his first game in well over 12 months.
Obviously, we had a little setback with his calf injury a month ago. We would have been at this point a little bit earlier. Joe's been working his backside off to get himself back to reignite his footy career. He's enjoyed being up here with the guys. He's been really positive around everyone. He's been working extremely hard, but supporting a lot of the younger players that have been getting some opportunities this year. So it's just been good to have him around in this full-time environment. Because of his program, you know, up until we moved up here, we didn't actually spend a lot of time around Joe because he was in a different training group. Obviously, Joe knows the club. Wants him to stay. We'd love him to play out his whole career at the Essendon Footy Club. But there's going to be a new coach next year, and those discussions are going to be more heavily involved with Ben and list management group going forward. But obviously it rests with Joe's desires mainly.
So five games to go, Jono. Joe gets a chance to play. What are your thoughts on him? I won't say being rushed back because he's missed so much footy, but no scrimmage match, obviously no opportunity to play in a VFL game. What do you think?
I think there's obviously some small risks associated with it because you haven't had that full, you know, match simulation, I suppose, in terms of having a full practice match or going back and playing in the VFL for a couple of weeks just to, you know, get yourself going and make sure that your touch and your body can recover and you can actually have more confidence in yourself going through there. There's no doubt that he would have, he won't second guess himself, but at leading into the game, there's just that question mark, I suppose, in your mind coming off a big layoff, you know, what is going to happen tonight? So there's a little bit of the unknown, I suppose, is the right word in terms of, your preparations. You're confident, but there's always that little but there when you're coming off that long layoff. So ultimately, it's a huge night for Joe. Essendon fans will be loving the fact, we're loving the fact that Joe's back. And all we want to see him is get through the next 4 or 5 weeks, maybe even play some big finals for the Bombers. The other questions, they'll answer themselves in the next couple of months anyway. Joe at the right time and the club will talk and announce those sort of things. We know those discussions are going to happen. It's just timing on those. So we can't dictate when they will be. Yes, we'll continue to ask the question about how the whole relationship and everything is going, but I think his football will determine that over the next couple of weeks anyway.
How important was it for him to play in these last five rounds, Jono, not only from Essendon's perspective, but for Joe personally as well?
Oh, I think it's big in the fact that, you know, he's had these injury setbacks along the way and, you know, he wouldn't ever have questioned that he couldn't get back. It's just now the impact he can have now that he is fit and ready to come back. And I think his impact will be quite significant. It mightn't be tonight, but it'll grow. This guy can seriously play. We see what the King boys are doing in terms of their height and agility and those sort of things for their clubs. Joe's going to do the same thing for Essendon. And I think the way that the game has sort of gone this year will start to suit a Joe Danaher on return anyway, because they can play him out of the goal square, you know, more often. That he won't have to leave forward 50 to go and defend, you know, and compress the ground right up, because teams are starting to lengthen the ground a little bit. And Essendon play that way in terms of just, you know, lengthening that ground, keeping their forwards more at home. So I think this sort of style of football that they play and what we're starting to see more often will suit Joe Danaher on return anyway, because he's going to play maybe out of the square and not have to get up the ground, let others do that initially.
I've got one question for you, Whitey. From a media perspective, we were listening to John Worsfold before saying the decision is about Joe and his future will be made, obviously, a lot more by Ben Rutten than him. Would it be nice for the Essendon fans to hear from Ben Rutten and what he thinks about Joe Danaher and his role going forward with the footy club?
What's he going to say?
Well, he's obviously going to say, you know, I look forward to him playing here, or he might, you know, open up a little bit on Joe's journey and his relationship with Joe.
Yeah, I think everyone wants to hear a little bit more of Ben Rutten now, because we are sort of, you know, 4 or 5 games away from him being in control. But I think it's more you see Ben Rutten sort of coaching the team week to week at the moment, Jono, in the box, that maybe the time has come for Ben to start to do the post-game press conferences, if he's the one that's in charge on game day. Look, it's always going to be a difficult process, this transition as to who is the figurehead, if you like, because at the end of the day, it still is John Worsfold. It's still his team, but it feels like that it's Ben coaching on match day. So I'm not sure, but I think we've got to start to hear a little bit more from Ben to answer your question.
Yeah, I think so as well. And I think that's the green light from John Worsfold throughout that interview, saying that, you know, the decisions behind the doors now will be, the list management will be with Ben Rutten as those discussions start to happen now until the end of the year. They're making decisions on players' futures, what Ben would like to come into the club in the future as well. I think that's really important to understand, that he might be looking for a certain type of player that he thinks will help the footy club, whether that is through a trade or whether that is a young player through the draft that they will look at getting into the footy club. So I think it's now, yeah, you're right. Maybe it's not so much post-game. I think it's still John until the end of the year in all those sort of game day footy aspects of things, because the buck is stopping with him at this current time. But I think more during the week and the way that things are starting to shape from a club point of view, and if there's questions around the club point of view, I think that that's where, and where the football's going in the future, that's where Ben, I think, needs to now probably start to address things more often. And as I said, I think that's the green light from John, because he's basically said it there that, you know, this is going to be Ben's club in the future. So he's going to be the one making decisions on players, et cetera.
And they are playing different to what they did last year, because it is the way Ben wants them to play and play Carousella and that sort of this new game style. I think it's still clearly being bedded down, but
clearly,
yeah. I think they've also got to show respect to Johnny in the sense, Johnny, that he is still the coach and will be the coach till the end of the year. And he's a premiership coach. He's sort of navigated Essendon through some pretty troubled waters, and they want to give him the due respect until the end of the season, I guess.
Yeah, look, and Blake Carousella is an awesome coach. He's shown that at the Cats. I had first-hand experience watching him go about it. Then also you've got the work he did at Richmond, which was sensational in helping, you know, mould that team to the success that they've had in the past and continue to have today. And, you know, sometimes you sort of look and go, okay, with the style they're trying to play, and it might be an implementation of a few different things that Blake brings to the table along with the other coaches, but you've got to find the right fit for that group of players. Now, you know, we've seen coaches in the past that, you know, might have come in and had a certain style, but it just didn't suit the group. So then, you know, they've still tried to run with that, but the success hasn't come until something's come in that's maybe freed them up a little bit more and play to a style that suits the collective. So I think that's what Essendon is still searching for. They've played some really good footy at times, but at times they've seemed to battle as well under the type of style they're trying to play. And it is an evolution, but it's one that I'm sure, you know, they've had a fair bit of time with now, and there's no turning back. So they've got to get it right coming into a final series. You just got to make the finals, I think, this year. Yes, there's some good sides at the top end, but anything's possible this year, and we still don't know the locations and what may happen into the future. So there's still a huge chance for them to make this an excellent season for themselves.
So from a team selection perspective in the Hawthorn-Essendon game, Hawthorn's made three changes. Jack Gunston, Jonathan Segler and Darren Minchington come back into the team. They've managed Ben Stratton and Sean Burgoyne. Jarman Impey is out injured. So three important outs for the Hawks. Essendon, Phillips, Hooker and Danaher come in. So not only is the story about Joe Danaher, but Cale Hooker's missed most of the season as well. So he returns to probably the defence. Out Tom Bell-Chambers injured, Aaron Francis injured and Sam Draper has been managed. So the two ruckmen that they had in the game in Darwin are both missing, and Andrew Phillips gets another opportunity. Who are you leaning towards here, Jono? Because mathematically, both teams, if they were to win all their remaining games, would probably make the finals. It's unlikely, but it is possible. Who are you leaning towards?
I'm leaning towards the Bombers. I think with Burgoyne out of the side and Ben Stratton in particular, I think they're huge. Same with Jarman Impey. He's so important. I know he's been playing forward and he brings the energy and he brings that spark to defend with speed in that forward half of the ground. So I think that's, you know, although they've got a couple of good wins in Segler and Gunston, so have Essendon. But then you go to the Bombers and you sort of look at them and go, okay, their two ruckmen are out of the side. Again, Aaron Francis is an important, really important defender for them. So that's where Cale Hooker, you're right, Whitey, will have to go back. Andrew Phillips comes in to take the ruck. But yeah, I'm just leaning towards the Bombers. I think their midfield will be able to at least break even, if not beat Hawthorn's midfield, and give their forwards sort of first look at it across the ground. Their matchups are really, really strong. I think the Danaher Stewart combination could be quite good, and then you've got the smalls that will get to work, no doubt, in that forward half of the ground to give them enough opportunity to score. So I think Essendon by probably around 10 or so points. I think it'll be close for most of the night. That's traditionally the way it is against Hawthorn. Anyway, you've got to work hard to break them, because they're, talk about a well-coached team and structured team, that they do take a fair bit of work to get through. And from a Hawthorn point of view, I've loved the work of Will Day throughout the entire season so far. I think he's a really youngster that the Hawks should be extremely excited about in terms of what he's been able to do sort of week in, week out now for the footy club. He's becoming reasonably consistent in what he does, and you know that's only going to get better as the years go on, and they'll be pretty excited with what they've got there from the number 30.
Jono, one final one on the Essendon-Hawthorn game. You played in Darwin a lot. That week after, and how much it took out of you, Dylan Scheel said to us on Tuesday that some of the players lost as much as 4 kilos in the game, even though it was a shortened game up in Darwin. And obviously they get that they put that weight on fairly quickly. But a short break, Saturday night into Thursday night, do you think that will have an impact on them?
It could a little bit. Yeah, I think that's really important to keep an eye on throughout the week. They might even make a couple of late changes depending on that. They'll be giving guys right up until the game to make sure that they are, or game day to make sure that they are right, which is today. So, you know, this afternoon they might have to make some decisions on players depending on recovery, because that's a lot of weight to lose, put back on, start to feel good about yourself. And yes, we played a fair bit of footy up in Darwin, as you said. We sold the home games up to Darwin. So therefore, really, we used to play up there a lot with the break next, so with the bye. So we would have then just a couple of days to recover actually in Darwin and then travel home, have plenty of time to sort of get over playing in those tougher conditions with, it's not so much the humidity, it's just beautiful. Actually, the weather is beautiful during the day and it's just a bit more slippery at night. So I think overall it's just something different off a short break. What we always had a fair bit of time to recover from that game, get home and get ourselves set for our next hit out.
Yeah, I can't help but think it's an impact tonight, because it's a flight to Darwin to play on the Saturday night, back to the hub in Queensland, then to go to Adelaide to play on a Thursday night game. That's a tough ask, but we'll see what happens. The second game is the big one, Richmond and West Coast. This could very easily be the grand final in October. One of the talking points has obviously been the staging fines, which were essentially waived by the tribunal. So Nick Vlosten and also Dylan Grimes didn't have to pay the $500. This is Jack Revolt talking on Balls and Bumpers, an RSN podcast yesterday, about that whole incident.
They've never been in these positions. They don't understand the intricacies of the game, and it's just, it is absolute tripe. And I'm so wrapped for the boys, because the easy thing could do was accept the fine. It's only $500. It's still $500, but you could have accepted it, moved on, been out of the media. But the fact that they both felt like they were not guilty, and the club felt strongly that they weren't guilty, but they went to the tribunal and got off, I think it's an absolute win for the people.
A win for the people, says Jack. Jono, what were your thoughts on the fines for those two players, Grimes and Vlosten, being waived?
Yeah, look, we made the call on Saturday night when it happened on stretch that they had added a little bit to, you know, accentuate the movements that did come their way. Grimes, of course, pushing himself forward, and also then, you know, Nick, who is an extremely tough player. We understand that, and he copped the one through his head back. Look, it wasn't overly excessive, so I can understand why the decision was made to, in terms of the letter of the law that we do have in the game with this, that the fines were taken away. I think we do understand, though, that both players did accentuate the contact that did come their way. And for Dylan Grimes, it just hasn't been the first time that's happened. We've seen the highlights of those two out throughout the week. I'm sure he'll change it. And the reason why on Saturday night we said it, because you look at one incident where McDonald, Tip and Woody's coming back with the flight of the ball for the Bombers, and Dylan Grimes hits him late and hits him hard, really hard, and didn't go to ground. So I look at that and go, this guy can take some serious hits in the game. And then he gets a light tap on the back, and the next thing he's flying through the air like Superman. So that's for me where Dylan Grimes, we know him as a player, is extremely strong in the contest. We know the way that he's played over a number of years to hold up that defensive end, especially the last couple of years with no Alex Rance. Like, Dylan Grimes is the main man in that back half for the Tigers. He doesn't need to accentuate things. He'll win one-on-one battles on his own merit. And I think that's just all he needs to get back to as a player. And I think he understands that as a player, that one-on-one, he can beat, you know, pretty much any one of his opponents that that he battles with week in, week out. He doesn't need to try and, you know, push for the free kick, because he'll win them on his own merits, because he's that good a player. And I'm sure Richmond will reinforce that to him throughout the week leading into tonight's game and future games for him as a player. Look, you know, yes, I'm the same. Did I push forward at times when I felt a hand in the back? Of course, when you're playing, that's what you can do. I can't really remember, you know, like Tom Papley sort of doing that sort of style of push forward when I felt a nudge in the back. But Fatty Dangerfield was right during the week. You know, you can't sit there as a player and say that you've never been in that situation where you felt some contact and moved yourself forward a little bit more than, you know, the force would, you know, force would allow. So I think that's important. I think Jack's right in that sense. But having been there and done it, yes, no doubt that you can understand some of Jack's comments in and around it. But you can sort of take it on face value with the type of player too that we're judging. We're judging two really tough, hard players that have proven that over a long period of time for their footy clubs. And it's something that's crept into the game collectively, and I think it's something that everyone's trying to stamp out of the game collectively, and I think that will happen.
Whitey, you and Half were pretty strong yesterday on the Richmond players challenging and disagreed with their challenge. What was your reaction when the verdict came down yesterday morning?
I was surprised, but at the same point, I didn't think that strongly of it that it makes me outraged that the fines were waived. I just think that, a bit like Jono, Nick Vlosten and Dylan Grimes are two of the best defenders in the competition, and I think it kind of spoils them a little bit with what they do, because they are hard players. They are uncompromising defenders, and I don't think they need to be doing it, because they both do it, particularly Grimes. And I think it was a way of potentially, you know, eradicating it from their game, was just to give them a bit of a clip. Now, I think the commentary around both of them will mean that maybe they will still alter the way they play a little bit. But I wasn't necessarily strong either way. I think I sort of applaud Chriso for doing it. I'd be a bit flat if I was Chriso over the last couple of weeks now. I think he's actually done pretty well, done very well with the way he's assessed things, only for things to be overturned at the tribunal. I think that would leave him a little bit frustrated, because he's clearly instructed to a certain extent, whether it's staging, but certainly in the case of the dangerous tackles, that he's been issued instructions to go a certain way with this, and he does it only for them to then get overturned. It just confuses everybody. And I think that's probably a greater frustration for the MRO scenario at the moment, but yeah, I'm not sure. From a point of view of the game, Jono, because it kind of has overshadowed the game, and as I said, this could very easily be a grand final preview. We've got West Coast on this amazing winning streak, but have been playing at the sanctuary of home. We know they don't play particularly well in Queensland, and the Tigers' form has been mixed. It's been good at times, but it's been poor at other times, and a lot of that's been due to personnel issues. How do you think it'll play out?
Oh, look, I'm intrigued with West Coast. I really am, in terms of now going back to Queensland and seeing what happens, see how much they did learn from the first time around. And I'm tipping there won't be any, we can't wait to get home now, because they mightn't go home now, because we wait and see what will happen over the next couple of weeks with, you know, what decisions the AFL make with where the finals will be played, and whether they do allow, you know, that to happen in one place, or whether we will still see some travel back to Optus and back over to Adelaide for some finals football, or whether they collectively just make the decision that all eight teams are bunkering in the one state and it's just going to get done. And so, you know, we wait for all those decisions to be made. So that's where it becomes really intriguing for West Coast, who started the season so poorly in the hubs, went home and dominated, and now hopefully they've got enough confidence and form up that they can go, okay, let's go, boys, and let's settle in and get the job done. But this is going to be a ripping game. I might even see a draw tonight, which would be great for everyone, because it really is difficult to split these teams. Both are playing debutants. Toby Nankervis is back, which is huge for the Tigers, and Mark Hutchings, I think, you know, quite an important player through possibly, you know, tagging through the midfield for West Coast and trying to stop one of the opposition best. Obviously, you know, Trent Cotchin or Dustin Martin could get a bit of a look in tonight. Oscar Allen's a big out, I think, for West Coast. He's really has helped taking that second ruck role, helping the key forwards. And I think he's really helped with the structure to allow Kennedy and Darling to get to work over the last 8 weeks and have an impact in the competition again that we know they can have. And, you know, Chole and Stack, you know, there's some, you know, quite important players as well for Richmond. So both teams have got some big outs, some key players, a couple of key players that can come in, some debutants to see what we can, you know, find out a little bit more about them as they hit the ground for the first time and see how they handle themselves at AFL level.
And one of those debutants, Whitey Thompson Dow, for the Tigers, the younger brother of Carlton's Paddy, who can't get a game at the moment. He's just 76 kilos, so he's going to be a bit of a lightweight in the middle. I'm interested to see how he'll go, Jono. How do you reckon you would have got at 76 kilos?
I think I was 76 kilos, about 75, when I debuted for the Docks. So I just turned 18. Yeah, I wasn't... I took a few years to put a few kilos on Maisie along the way. So he'll be right. They wouldn't be throwing him in there if they didn't think he was, you know, up to it. And the good thing about Thomas Dow is that he's got some good big bodies around him. So I think that helps when you do make your debut and you are a little bit lighter than what he will be in 2 or 3 years' time. He'll put probably 5 to 10 kilos on in a heartbeat in the next couple of years, and he probably already has put about 5 or 6 on to get to the 76 kilos that he's going out at. So, but he's got some big guys around him, and I think that's important that, you know, the midfield that he will have around him at times when you look at, you know, Graham in there, who's a young player but a really thick set in terms of his body, Lambert, the way that he plays. And Cotchin and Martin rolling through there as well, I think's really good. And I think we need to continue to highlight the year that Bolton's having through the midfield for the Tigers. You know, I think we'd love these, don't we, when you see players that get an opportunity for maybe, you know, reasons of injury with Cotchin out of the side for a period of time, and all of a sudden Bolton gets in there and, you know, no one's knocking him out of that midfield again for maybe the rest of his career, let alone the rest of this year. And the good thing about Bolton is that we know that he can play as a crafty sort of forward, half forward as well. So the evolution of his game's been enormous this year. And I think that's something that, you know, when they walk away from things throughout at the end of the year, yes, they're in a really good spot, but they've had some younger players and mature recruits come into this lineup, the Tigers, that have had, you know, significant years. And Bolton is one of those. He's leading the midfield at the moment.
Interested to see Lewis Jetta can't get a game, Whitey and Jono, for the Eagles. I thought after a couple of weeks he'd be straight back in.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Look, it's when you look at their side through the back half. Thomas Cole was awesome last week. Shannon Hearn, of course, going nowhere. Duggan has gone to another level again, I think, as a player in their lineup. So, you know, maybe all of a sudden it's not as easy as stepping straight back into the West Coast Eagles lineup. 12 months ago, maybe, because Cole was up and down as a player. He'd play, you know, good for 1 or 2 weeks, have a couple of quiet ones and be out of the team. Where these days, you know, they're more consistent as players, and Shepherd's back consistently now. He holds up that back half with McGovern and Barras and Hearn. So those four are the mainstays. The other two spots are always up for grabs. And at the moment, Cole and Duggan and I know Nelson's outmanaged, but those three have really held down those other couple of spots within the back half for West Coast. So they've made it difficult for a Jetta to walk straight back in.
All right, so those team changes for tonight's game. Dow and Nankervis in for the Tigers. Stack and Chole are out. Stack injured. Chole has been omitted. And for West Coast, Bailey Williams on debut. Another Bailey Williams. Mark Hutchins in, as Jono spoke about. And Nelson and Allen are both out injured. So before we go to a break, Jono, you can't say it's going to be a draw. You've got to go one way or the other. Come on.
I'm going to go for Richmond because West Coast don't want to be in the hub.
That's right. I think that's very good logic. Very good logic. It's like a horse that runs really well at Flemington, but don't take him to Moonee Valley. He won't run on the tight track. Now, talking of that, before we go to a break, you've got two greyhounds in action tonight. Ooh. Not one, but two. You are a greyhound owner, Leviathan.
I have got a couple of pups that will run around later today. Look, and last time we mentioned it, I think our King of Swing ran third in the final. That when I mentioned on the show last time, so Thursday nights are becoming popular for our dogs to have a run, which is good. Got the footy and watching the dogs run around. So yes, they do run tonight. Race 9, box 1 for King of Swing, and then our other one is in box 8. Race 8, box 1 at Warrnambool. So look out tonight for the two dogs. Could be a good little multi, each way multi for both of them. They both start really well. It's just whether they can hang on at the end. That's the question mark. And King of Swing's in a tougher field tonight, so it'll be a good little challenge for him to see how he goes. He's had a lot of injuries. He's come back. He's in reasonable form. So look out tonight for those two. Really, it's really exciting. We absolutely love it.
$2.10 place at the moment, Whitey.
Yeah, that might be me. That might be me. A little multi. That into Richmond.
Multi them up and away you go.